Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dyke-Ward Mills. Dyke-Ward Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International denomination with over 3,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and an author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 500 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dyke-Ward Mills.
Hallelujah. Are you excited to be at the great invitation? Oh, I can't hear you. Are you excited to be here? How many of you are happy God is going to reach out to you today? How many of you are happy you're going to hear a word from the Lord today? If you're excited, shout, "Yeah!" Wow, Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Amen. I believe when you heed the call of Jesus and you decide to follow him, you will have a dramatic turnaround of your life. You will experience a great change. Hallelujah. Today we are going to hear powerful testimonies of great change, of people who came to church, heard somebody preaching the gospel, gave their lives to Christ, and today their lives have turned completely around. You are the next person to be saved. If you believe it, shout amen. Let's put our hands together for Gabriel Darko. He's a dancing star. Oh, dancing stars, do it better for him. Hallelujah. Gabby, tell us, what has God done for you?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So my name is Gabriel Darko from Legon region in Say Center, and also a dancing star. So I want to share my testimony, how I got saved, had my great change. It all started when I was still with a single parent, who is my mom, and she worked for long hours. So I got a chance to start fornicating and also drinking a lot. Yes, so it continued in primary school at the age of 9.
Started at 9?
Yes, please. Yes, at the age of 9. And also, when I went to JHS, I met a group of friends whom I joined. I thought they were good friends. So we started doing more of fornicating and fornications and things. We started smoking also. I started smoking. So it got to a point, I realized that the smoking and the drinking was too much. So I minimized it and continued with the fornications, and because I felt that the fornicating were working. Yes.
And so, what happened?
Yes.
What happened? How did you get
so,
to meet?
I was walking around my area when a pastor from
this,
the Kodesh.
How old were you around this time?
I was about 13, 14 there.
Okay.
Yes, so he came to our area to evangelize to a group of us. He preached to us and we gave our life to Christ and invited us to church. That was a
safe church.
The safe church.
At the Kodesh.
Yes, at the Kodesh. So I got a chance to meet Bishop Oko and Sister Erica, who they preached to us. They were preaching, teaching us what to do, a whole lot. But I had in my heart, because I felt these things they were doing, it was too much. So I never flowed with their ways and what they were doing. So I was listening to Daddy's message one time, and he spoke about young people, really young people having energy towards serve God. So it pricked my heart and it pricked me. So I decided to focus on God. And back then I was a famous dancer. That was how come I had the ladies around me and fornicating with them.
Shout, "Yeah!" That was how you were having the ladies.
Yes.
So when the message pricked you, you decided, yes. What did you decide to do?
I decided to use my gifts that I had to serve God, because I felt that I couldn't preach. I cannot preach to people. So I felt that my pastors, Lady Pastor Rhoda, when I joined, they advised me that you can use your preaching to also preach to someone. So I made up my mind that I'll use my gift to also serve God. So I just flowed with their ways. I obeyed whatever they told me by going for prayer meetings, joining a lay school. So by the grace of God, I'm done with my lay school now and going for prayer meetings and all.
When he says he's done with his lay school, you don't understand. That means he's written and passed seven exams.
Yes, please.
So when did you notice the change in your life? When did you notice you've not been smoking, you've not been drinking, you've not been fornicating anymore?
I can't point out when exactly I got changed. But I realized that when, as I continued to come to church and serve God, everything started dropping off.
Wow.
Yes, because I used to also club, but I wasn't going there anymore. I used to, when I see ladies, I cannot stay away. I cannot roll my eyes off them. I have to get closer to them and talk to them.
But now,
when I see ladies, I feel like bringing them to church.
Wow.
And also making them join the Dancing Stars and also serving God.
And making them join the Dancing Stars. Put your hands together for Jesus. I see God turning your life around too. So what do you do in church currently?
So now I'm a Basanta leader. And I'm also a leader in... also today I passed. I'm not a Basanta leader. But because of Swollen Sunday, I passed and I brought 70 people to church today. Yes, and also by the grace of God, I'm being trained to be a pastor. And I want to use this opportunity to thank our prophet who obeyed the call and also training other people to be like him and also preach to us. And I want to say thank you to God. Amen.
Amen. Put your hands together for that powerful testimony. Let's welcome Nicholas. Nicholas Nico Te Amon. He's also a dancing star and a Basanta leader in Sakama. How do you better for him? Nicholas, tell us, what has God done for you?
Amen.
Amen.
My name is Nicholas Niamon Kote from Team Fruitful Region, from the Sacrament Center, and also a dancing star. My testimony is about a great change since I joined the First Love Church. I was born into a Christian family where going to church was a thing of my family. I mean, when you don't go to church on Sunday, you don't eat. And my father and my mother made a way for us to go to Christian schools and have Christian education, but I really didn't understand why I had to go to church or why I had to read my Bible or why I had to get up at dawn to pray with them. I was just flowing because they asked me to come to church. And this life continued till I got to the university in 1100, where I had the liberty of being alone, far from my family, and I can do what I want to do. Amen.
Amen. In the university.
In the university. So I met a couple of friends who taught me things that I
Which
never done.
Which university was
before.
This?
University of Professional Studies, UPSA.
Okay.
And I met a couple of friends who taught me things I've never done before. I mean, they could excuse me from the room, like they could excuse themselves from the room and leave me alone for me to fornicate with a girl. And they taught me going to clubbing. I mean, they taught me going to club to go and buy a table in the club.
To go and buy a what?
Table.
What does it mean to buy a table?
To buy a table in a club is like to buy a whole package, a portion of the club where you get the expensive drinks and you become the champion of the club. I mean, people respect you in the club.
And shout, EA! You will become a champion in God's house. You will not be a champion in the club.
And I was also selling drugs in the university. I was coming to church though, but I was a lukewarm Christian. I mean, come to church on Sunday and during the week, I do my business selling drugs like weed toffee. We make weed into toffees and go around the hostels and sell it to people. And this was the life I was living.
And when did you experience a change? When did you experience a change in your
life? Okay, when I was in the university in level 100, the second semester, I joined the First Love Church. And my pastor, Pastor Bonsu, took notice of me. And he encouraged me to join something. He encouraged me to join the Dancing Star, where I came and I was being taught how to dance. And he made me join the Understanding Team, where they taught me New Believer School, School of the Word. And I mean, I started developing this understanding. God was renewing my mind. And I used to go to church, but I could see that when I joined the Understanding Team, I was getting a deeper understanding of what I was doing now in church. And I stayed in the church. And when I completed school, there was a pastor, Pastor Nanedu. He came to my house and he told me that, Charlie, he wants me to work for God. And he said, have I listened to Ida's music that says that now that you found Christ, what are you going to do with him? I felt something in my spirit, and I said I'll try to do this God thing. I started leading prayer in the Sacrament Center and started busing people from Sacrament Center to First Love. And I believe as I was doing these
things... So did you bus people today?
Yes, I bus people.
How many people did you bus?
22.
Wow. So when was the last time you sold weed toffee?
I don't remember.
When was the last time you fornicated?
I don't remember.
When was the last time you went to the club? You will also not be able to remember. Give the Lord a mighty shout of praise. I'll put your hands together for that powerful testimony. God will turn your life around. Let's welcome Erasmus Kluche. He's with the multiplication campaign and also the fruitful team. Do it better for him. For our final testimony for today, Erasmus, tell us, what has God done for you?
My name is Erasmus Jogbenye Kwame Kluche. I'm a member of the Salvation Mission team, the prayer service team, and I'm in the sound ministry. Today I'm here to testify about a great change that happened in my life by me joining the First Love Church. Now if you see me standing here today, you are looking at an individual who at the age of 12 was mixed up with friends who were into saints worshipping. We could spend part of our break time sitting on tombstones by my JHS. Just be there playing cards, just relaxing. Now, at this point,
just
I also
relax in the cemetery.
Yes, please. Sit on tombs and just relax. Then, at this point also, I picked the habit of drinking. Now, this continued into high school where I met more friends who taught me how to also smoke, fornicate, do all sorts of bad things. Now, at this point also, my relationship with my parents was bad. Every single time we are fighting, doing all sorts of things. I've even been driven out of the house before. And now when I got into the university, I continue these things. In my room, we'd have drink cups. You can even come and then we'll be distributing condoms at the gates. You know, there are points where every single bed is paired up. People are having sex in the midst of other people. Now, during this time, another thing that started to happen is that people kept coming to my door. People from the church.
From which church?
From the First Love Church.
They started coming to your door.
Yes,
where?
They come in Kwapon. At that time,
Alex Kwapon Hall.
Alex Kwapon
Hall. University of Ghana, Lagos.
Yes, please.
Wow.
Yeah. At the time, Elder Edinam was the one who had a church there. Now they kept coming. Sometimes they come, we listen to them. Other times they come, we bang the door at them. On Sundays, can come and invite us. But we'll be having a hangover. Like, we'll not even mind them. And at a point when they come to teach us, it's like what they teach makes sense. I can understand what they are saying. I can relate to it. And I didn't experience that ever in my life. So I started going for the midweek once in a while. But during one vacation, I was invited for a service where prophets preached at CC. And I don't remember how he preached, but all I could remember is that at a point when I was just in tears at the end of the message. And he made a great invitation. He invited me. He invited people to come and give their life to Christ. He made an altar call. All I could find myself was I was standing in front just crying. And
you were standing in front crying?
Yes, I was standing in front
Someone
crying.
Who used to relax in the cemetery?
Yes.
You are the front of the church crying?
Very surprising. Yes. Wow. I was standing in front crying. And after he prayed with us, he looked at me. He asked me that, will I serve God? And I said, yes. Then he asked me again, and I said yes. And from that time, it's like, I cannot recognize who I used to be anymore. You know, going forward, I moved from Kwapon to Pent. Even though I was in the church, I was trying to, I was dwelled, you know. And then at that point, Elder Edinam introduced me to Opi Kadela, who also shepherded me. Now at that point, she appointed me as an elder. And I was like, hey, me. I was very surprised because I was doing everything to fight it.
So what do you do now in church? What do you do in the church?
Now I'm in the Salvation Mission Crusade team, and also I'm in the prayer service team, and I'm in the sound ministry as well.
Wow. Yeah. This young man was part of the team who organized our last crusade at Madina.
Fabinha.
Amen. God changed his life from being a drunkard and a smoker to a crusade director. Put your hands together for the Lord. And I believe the same word is going to come today. And if you are here, I want you to open up your heart and receive Jesus. Your life can never be the same again. Put your hands together for powerful testimonies. Thank you.
Once again, you're welcome to the great invitation. And it's my privilege to welcome you to the most important part of this service. Outside, can I hear you scream? Inside, can I hear you scream? Can I hear the ladies in the house give God praise? Brothers, are you around? First Love Church, are you in the house? This is the great invitation. I know many of you have been invited by your friends, by your family, and by people who came into contact with you. But this is an invitation to find Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, if I be lifted high on earth, I'll draw all men unto me. And today there are thousands of people who are here to hear about this Jesus Christ. And it's my privilege to bring to you the man of God who is going to present to us a message from God. And I sense that the atmosphere is agitated. I can see and feel angels flapping their wings in the atmosphere. And our father has been gone for 2 weeks. He's been preaching the gospel in Uganda, and I can feel the anointing, and I can feel the charge in the spirit. And if you expect God to speak to you and to touch you, lift your hands, stamp your feet, and give the Lord a scream! Welcome, our bishop, our prophet, Bishop Guy Heward Mills!
When you put your trust in God,
lift your hands and sing it!
Nothing is impossible when you trust in His word. Hearken to the voice of God to me. Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon His word. For everything, oh everything, yes everything.
For today, thank you that everything is possible with you. Thank you for taking us, bringing us here safely, and gathering us today in this beautiful service, the great invitation, Swollen Sunday. We love you. We thank you. I pray for everyone here that, Lord, our hearts will be fixed on you, and our love for you will be stronger than ever before. We give you thanks. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You are all welcome to the great invitation. And this morning or afternoon, I want to share with you about the great invitation. From Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. I want to ask as many people as possible to sit down. I know there's way more than 10,000 people here. That's a lot of people. But try hard to concentrate for a few minutes on what I am sharing from the Word of God. That's the most important thing. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and invited many. The word in the King James Bible, which was written in 1611, is bade many, but we say invited many. That's why we call it the great invitation. Amen. The great invitation. Because God is the greatest inviter that you would ever imagine to have. All right? Now, he sent his servants to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Everybody say, come.
Come.
Come. Come. God is saying, come.
Come.
Yes. The word come is found in the Bible 2,106 times. 2,106 times God says, come, 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 come. He's always calling people, come, 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 come to me. So never say God didn't invite you. He invited you. He liked you. He wanted you. All right? Don't say that God didn't invite you. He did. 2,106 times you have the word come, come. Come, come to me, come unto me, come. And here you see it again, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. One of them said, I bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it. I pray thee, have me excuse. I bought land. The second one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. And I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excuse. That was the greatest business of those days. The business of those days was farming. That's the first business in the world, agric. All underdeveloped countries and countries that are more not so advanced, to be polite, emphasize on agriculture. And all famines happen in countries which emphasize on agriculture. All countries which emphasize on agriculture are poor. Amazing. The third one said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in the hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, we've done that as you have commanded. Yet there is room. God's house has a lot of room, eh? You'll never be too many. Wow. Always remember, sometimes when somebody have friends, you see people, then sometimes you feel you are going to join the group. Then you feel that like you are an outsider or you'll be too many. That's not how God's house is. There's always space. You never feel, when you get to heaven, you see Abraham and all these guys, you realize that you not feel, oh, I'm a Ghanaian. No. It will never occur to you. You see that you are cool, kra. Like you are a main person in heaven too. Wow. Now, the Lord said to his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them, force people to come in. That's the word, anakazo. Because the thing is very serious. That's why, you know, when it comes to certain things, even at home, parents sometimes have to lash you to do what is important, because it's very serious. The consequences of misbehaving are very serious. Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You know, if you don't want God, God will call people who you despise. Most people, when you are having parties, you don't go and call cripples, blind people, deaf and dumb, paralyzed, Down syndrome, and mentally retarded. No, you know, I mean, I've been to some of your parties. You don't invite such people. In fact, I've never been to a party where such people were invited. Never. No. So there are people that you don't normally invite. And you see, when you don't want it, God will now go to a group that you don't think much of. And that's how come we are here at the First Love Church, you know, experiencing something that young people who love God are in the house of God. And if the older, dignified people, those who have BMWs, those who have cars, those who have Volvos, those who have Toyotas don't want it. And those who can only afford to come with a bus will come and take it. Yes. And our church, we are reducing the adult age here to 10. When you are 10 years now, you can be a full member of this church. Yes. The children are only from 6 to 9. We have a very small children's department, but from 10, you are a grown up in our church. And then you join. Yes. Did you hear the testimony? The guy said he started from the age of 9. He started fornicating from the age of 9. So if I have reduced the age of acceptability to 10, is it not a blessing rather? And the 10-year-old, when I preach, they understand what I'm saying. They notice. So everybody, God is inviting you. God is calling you. Come. As for God inviting you, He is inviting you. There are so many parties that you are not invited to. How many have realized that there was something happening and you were not invited? Raise your hand up. If you outside, I can't see your hands. Because I can see you a bit through the doors. Sometimes you realize that there was a major program, but you were not invited. Sometimes you see that there was a general one that happened. And that one, it was as though everybody was invited. But then there was another one, smaller one, and you realize that you were not invited to that one. I have good news for you. God has invited you to the big one. He has invited you to the small one. That's the great invitation. Come. All through the Bible, you hear God say, come. Come to me. Come. Come. Come to me. Come. 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 I want you. Come. Come. God is calling you when you are young. He's calling you when you are young. He's calling you when you are old. He's calling you to respond in time. Come. He's calling you to serve Him. He's calling you to work for Him. He's calling you to send you. He's calling you to bless you. Come. He's always saying, come. I like children. People, when they saw children, come, say, stop it, they are children. Jesus said, will you clear from there? I like all the children to come. I want them. You'll soon be sitting, seeing 10-year-olds, 11-year-old. You see them sitting here. Yes. They are the younger. Because in our church, when you are 24, realize you are getting old. Hallelujah. Now, when God is inviting you, why is He inviting you? He is inviting you to a great feast. Yes. We are really going to blow time in the house of God. Yes. We are really going to have fun and enjoy in the house of God. What are the things you are going to get when you come to the feast? What are they eating? Now, I remember my wife used to tell me that her father used to give advice when you are invited to a feast, to a dinner, you should try to eat before you go. Should in case the food that they are, what is going on there, you are not able to flow. And sometimes also not to show too much aggression when you see nice food. It's not good to take your aggression to a dinner. You have to sometimes look and say, oh, meat, I mean, it's not a problem. Eggs. But you see somebody have loaded your plate. The plate has become more than Mount Afajato. Yeah. One day I went somewhere with one of my pastors, with a group of pastors. And then one of my pastors went, and when I saw the plate, about four or five people could eat it. So after I called him for a meeting, I said, look, you cannot do this. It cannot happen. And I explained a lot of things to him. Hallelujah. Now, the great feast, the first thing you are going to have at this great feast is a glass of milk. Yes. You see, some of you don't understand when we say to drink milk. Because in Ghana, our cows don't produce milk. Our cows are just for meat. Yes. And Willie. Now, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. So milk is the easiest food to eat. You know, when a baby is born, it doesn't need even water. It doesn't need meat, rice, vegetables, tomatoes, nothing. Milk. Milk is everything. And it's easy. So when you come to God, this feast, you are going to have milk. So as you keep coming to church and you listen to the podcast and you read your Bible and you pray, you see that God is feeding you. And then you see some babies growing big and they are just drinking milk. It's amazing. Now try not to let your baby be too fat within the first year. If your baby is fat in the first year, the child will be fat later. Yes, so some mothers feel that mintown they put on weight for prosperity's sake. But rather, it is rather not good because that is the first year of fat that becomes the brown fat for the future. Yes, so this is just by the side for when you give birth. Don't have a mind that Chale Inele, we are putting on for the first year of prosperity. Yes. So milk is everything. And I tell you, it makes you grow big. And even in Ethiopia, well, when there used to be famine there, and some of those places, you see the children, 9 years old, the mother is standing there, the son is also standing there, drinking, because there's no food. Different children, the small ones, different grown-ups, everybody is drinking from the mother. Yes. And it keeps them alive. Yes. They can breastfeed till they are grown up. They'll be drinking. They give birth and they'll be drinking. So the word is like that. When you receive the word, you see, when you come to church, it's as if every problem that exists in the world has been addressed. And that is how the milk of the word is. Every issue, suddenly, even right now, you just heard something about when you give birth. You see, something is being told to you. Some of you have been encouraged where it's like people are being invited for parties and you are not being invited. God is telling you that he wants you to come to his party. It's healing you of your depression and your feeling of rejection. How many are excited to have a glass of milk? Oh, some of you have never drank milk before. I tell you, you are missing. Milk is a wonderful thing. When I used to go to my grandmother in Switzerland, milk as a drink, just pure milk. The man brings it every morning. The milk is at your doorstep. And you pour it. And when you drink it, you are okay. You'll be okay from now as you are in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name. The second thing you are going to have at the feast is bread. Wow. Bread. John chapter 6 verse 50. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man should eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So, you're going to have some bread in the house of God. Now, bread is very important. There are different types of bread. The French Revolution came about because bread got finished in France. So you can imagine how important bread is. Blodo. Yes. Normal bread. Now, I have been in Ghana. I was in Ghana in 1983 when bread got finished in Ghana. Yes, bread got finished in Ghana. Nobody had bread in Ghana. Yes. I had a friend whose mother had a bakery. He would give me a tip-off that there is one. Today they are going to bake. There was no flour in Ghana. Yes. My father had a job in Gambia. And he called us, he sent us bread from Gambia. So, a big sack of bread, like this, loaves, two up, on Ghana Airways, from Banjul. They put it in the plane. Then we go to the airport and we take the bread. In this Ghana, yes, there was nothing like bread in Ghana. That's where you see the importance of bread. Something that you depend on, but you don't know how much you need it and how much you use it all the time. Yes. My father had a hotel. There was no bread. So when it's morning, when they should serve bread, they will serve yam. Yes. We serve yam in the hotel for breakfast. Small, small pieces of yam. Today, as you come by the great invitation to the house of God, he's going to give you something so important that you will not know the importance of it till you lose it. When you lose it, you realize that, hey, I really depended on it. Yes. And that's how sometimes when somebody dies, you realize how connected you are to the person and how important the person was to you. But like water, you never know the importance of it till it is not there. You never know. During the PNDC time, they came up with a law to try to stop churches. PNDC law 221. Yes, they said we are going to turn our attention to the churches. That's how they said it, the head of state. We are going to turn our attention to the church. And they came up with a law to try to stifle churches and to ban it. And government after government tries to sometimes tamper with churches. But you see, the church is like the bread. He says, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread. I'm something that people need, that the day that it is not there, you see that it's affecting the society so much. You depend on God. You depend on the church. If the church was out of your life, you see, you may have parents. You may have money. You may have a job. But if you don't have the church, you don't have Jesus, you see that there's something seriously missing. I never knew that we even ate bread. We are not a bread country. We are not a bread. We are Kenke Banku country. You get it? Fufu. But the day that bread went out of Ghana, that's when you see. Yes. So remember that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the essential commodity. You need him, although you don't realize that you need him. Yes. You need him so much, but you don't realize how much you need him. How many are shocked when I'm telling you that there was no bread in Ghana and that it was a connection? If you get bread, you need to know somebody who has a bakery. 1983, Ghana. Everybody's collarbone, clavicle, came out, and it had a nickname. But I don't want to mention the nickname. Now, I know you know things. Now, how many are enjoying the feast so far? So far, what have you had? Some milk? I can't hear you say we have had some milk. And number two, what have you had? Bread. Number three, we are going to have some meat. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 says, strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Now, strong meat is meat that God is going to give you. Now, why do you need meat? Meat is what is going to make you strong. To develop your muscles. I know one bodybuilder. He eats 12 eggs every day. And meat. 12 eggs a day. Yes. I see them. They are in church all the time. So how many eggs? You see there's 6 eggs. 12 eggs. 10 eggs a day. The protein. Because an egg is a whole animal. The head, the meat, the stomach, everything is in the egg. It's a liquefied animal. When you eat an egg, you have eaten everything. And meat, they don't eat bread and those kind of things. They eat meat, eggs, 12 eggs, 6 in the morning, 6 in the evening. And it makes you strong. That's what gives the big, the meat, the muscles. So now God is making you strong in the spirit when you come to the house of God. Strong. You are ready to meet life. Oh, I said you are ready to meet life. You are ready to overcome. You are ready to do well in God. When you come to God, you become stronger. That's why when you are a young person and you know God, when you go home, you see that your parents are calling you to come and do counseling. It's true. I know many of my children, when they go home, their parents have called them to come and advise. They will say, oh, the pastor has come. How many have experienced that before? Yes. And you see somebody who has been married for 35 years is asking you, a child, to come and advise them. Come and listen to what your mother is saying. Because the meat of the word, it makes you strong. And it's like you look like the only person who understands what is happening in the world. Because the word of God makes you strong. There are many things you need strength for. And you are strong to fight ghosts, curses, evil spirits. Oh yes. One time God showed me in the spirit. I saw demons that were summoned. Because I became strong in the Lord. You know, this was at a certain time when I was in school. I became spiritually strong. And I saw in a vision there were some evil spirits. And they were recalled that you can't handle this. And a new group was sent. Yes. Because they were not going to be able to stay around to be harassing me. It was going to be difficult for them. I prophesy it is going to be difficult for the devils which have been assigned to you to stay in your life. Yes. Some of the things which you are afraid of now, you will not be afraid of them. It's just a matter of time. Because through the strong meat, you are becoming stronger in God. Stronger. Now, the things which you used to fall to. Huh? Some of you, if a boy just calls you, hi, baby. Hi, baby. A certain feeling comes on you. A certain feeling comes over you. Some of you brothers, like the guy was saying, when he sees a girl, he becomes like an hungry antelope who is looking for females. Yes. You know, one day I was in Kenya, and I saw a whole herd of antelopes. There were about 100. And the Kenyan wildlife ranger who was driving the jeep, we were in the middle of the wildlife park. Only no buildings, just wild savanna bush. And when we passed, we saw the antelopes. I didn't even bother to look because antelope were not what I was looking for, lions. I wanted to see real animals, not antelopes. You get what I'm saying? How many would like to see a lion or an antelope? Which one do you want to see? A lion. That's why we came there. We didn't come to look at antelopes. But he told me. He said, he turned to us. He was driving the car. He turned and said, look at the antelopes. Only one of them has horns. So I look at the antelopes in palace. All of them didn't have horns. Only one. And he said, the one with the horns is the man. Said, all these are his wives. Yes. So I asked, can one male antelope satisfy all these beautiful girls? He said, yeah, that's what they do. So we drove, we continued driving about 50 meters to maybe 100 meters later. I saw about 5 to 7 antelopes together. And all of them have horns. And he said that these are males, potential husbands, who are following these ones, hoping for a chance to get one of these females, but they have been dispossessed of their rights. Some of you brothers are like those 5 antelopes following the crowd of ladies, hoping for an opportunity. If one of them will fall behind, then you take her up. But from today, the strength through strong meat and hard, you see, strong meat, hard messages, you are going to become stronger in God. Yes. There are 2 types of ladies in the church. In our church. Which type do you want to be? Shall I tell you the 2 types? The first type, when they hear me talking about ladies and girls, they are very happy and they say it. We need it. Well, you listen. You see which group you want to join. They say it. We need it. This is what is making us better. We really need this kind of messages. Daddy, if you were not to say this, we would be beasts. So say it. Then there's the other group. When they hear me preaching, then they say, what about the men? What about the men? And that's only one side of the story. And they say, it's because you are a man that you are preaching the way you are preaching. And they don't, they say, oh, you are, what is, misogynist and what have you. So, the type who say it is very good for us to hear, otherwise we will be some way. Those are the ones who are receiving the strong message, because it's a strong message. And they are becoming stronger and they can see clearly. Their eyes see clearly. So, oh, it's true. If you are not to say this, this is how we are. We don't even love our husbands. Yes. We are just praised for things that are not real. Our hair cry is not real. Our buttocks is not real. Our nails are not real. Our hips are not. Nothing is real about us. Everything is fake. Our soft voice is not a really soft voice. Which group are you belonging to? The first or the second group? The first group, yes. So, keep on receiving the strong meat. Strong and hard messages make you strong. Milk is not going to make you strong like that. Milk will just make you fluffy and fatty. Yeah. You'll just be fluffy and fatty. Number, what are the things you have had to eat so far? Milk of the word. Are you enjoying the milk? Number 2? Bread. What you need for your life, isn't it? Number 3, what are you eating? Meat. Things are getting better. Number 4. you are going to have some water to wash down the meat. Wow. John chapter 4 verse 14. Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Whoso drinks the water I give him shall never be thirsty again. Come and let him that is thirsty come. Revelation 22 verse 17. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Water for you, to wash you, to clean you. You don't even know you are smelling. How many have been smelling before and you didn't know you were smelling and somebody told you that you were smelling? Raise up your hand if somebody once told you that you are smelling. Yes. Sometimes when you get married, you realize that somebody is telling you that you are smelling, but before you didn't know. You've been smelling all along. All along you've been smelling. You don't bath. And at first people thought it was the brothers who don't bath. But later we found out that the girls also don't like bathing. There are two types of girls who like my messages. Two types of girls. Now, when you are thirsty, you see that you need something. Anytime you see somebody smoking like this, he's thirsty. It is his thirst for something that's making him smoke. Anytime you see somebody smoking weed or eating weed toffee or weed cakes or he's taking marijuana, I'm going higher. It's thirsty for something. It's thirsty. Yeah, you see, that's why something is moving him. It's called thirst. People who you see dancing in the disco, I'm going to take you higher. All those people who are dancing, they're all thirsty people dancing. Till they find Jesus. When you find Jesus, you are no longer thirsty. It's like you are okay now. You don't need all those nightclubs. You don't need all those things anymore. Your thirst seems to have been satisfied. He that drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst again. You'll never be thirsty again. Have I got enough volume everywhere? Can you hear me? Yes. When you see somebody high, I'm going to take you high. He's thirsty. That is why he's doing what he's doing. You see boys chasing one girl after the other. I'm going to Pentagon. I'm going to Crapon. I'm going to here. I'm going for another girl. They are thirsty. When you find this water, suddenly you'll be, oh, I'm okay. I don't need it. So people look at us Christians and they think that maybe we are restricting ourselves. Or maybe we are sacrificing. We are squeezing ourselves. Hey! You are squeezing yourself. Charlie, you need it. Oh, you need it. You have not tasted of this water. That is why you think that I need it. Yes. If you've not tasted of this water, whosoever will drink of the water I will give him, he'll never be thirsty. Yeah. When you see, you know, one day I met a man, and he was talking so much about homosexuality. He said to me, you know, I've had hundreds of girls. He said, a girl doesn't satisfy me now. I need a boy. Because he was thirsty. Because as you keep on finding girl after girl, you still see that there's something you want. And a girl wasn't working for him. He told me, it's not somebody, I'm telling you, the man, you're sitting here, I'm sitting here. He said, I need something. He said, I've had girls, I wanted to marry one of them, but, you know, it's like, no, a girl is not. He told me, I've changed countries, because in this country, I'm able to freely find boys. I need anus. I can't work with the female body anymore. I need anus. It's thirsty.
He's thirsty. He's thirsty. He's moved with thirst. Oof. Water makes you move. I need a boy. I need a girl. I need alcohol. Those who are boozing every day, you see them boozing at the drinking bar. They are thirsty. I'm telling you. Jesus said, whosoever drinks of the drink, the water I give him, that the need that is driving him will dry out. That need will dry out. Yes. So when you come to Jesus, he will pass you some water. Now, do you know one thing? It's very difficult to drink when you are full. When you become pregnant, you'll see what I mean. Sometimes when you are pregnant, you are going for a scan, they will ask you, you'll be there. You'll be there soon. Your weddings are going to be nice. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Your thirst for boys will be over. Say amen. It is true. When you go, they will say sometimes, drink something so that your bladder will be full. Then we can see the scan well. And you see that it's not easy to drink when you are not thirsty. You actually have to force yourself. So that's how it is. You see that when Jesus has satisfied you, I said, I don't need anything. I don't need anybody. I don't need any man to hug me. Ah, some of you girls, you have followed hugs. You entered a room and there were two boys sleeping with you at a time. Three boys sleeping with you. What are you looking for? Having sex all over the place is thirst. But now when you come to Jesus, he's going to give you something. And you see that you don't even know how it goes. But you see that the thirst for all these things. If you look at pornography, I'll tell you something about pornography. You listen. Shall I tell you something about pornography? If you look at pornography, you ask yourself that, what are they doing? It's like putting a key into a keyhole. How many ways can you put a key into a keyhole? And you find it's as if when you put on whatever.com, it's as if you are going to see a new key into a new keyhole that I've never seen before. That is all the same key into the same keyhole. But you see that something is driving you and pushing you to see exactly the same thing being done in the same way. Well, what are the possible ways? Huh? Either you put it the keyhole this way. Do you get what I'm saying? No, I'm just asking you, what are the possible ways? No, think about it. It must be one of 6 or 7 ways. Either you put it like this, or you turn around and you put it like this, or you use your left hand to hold the key, or you use both hands, or you use your foot to put the key in, or you put the other foot, or you use your mouth to put the key into. These are the only possibilities. Hey! And you have seen somebody using his right foot, somebody using the left foot, somebody using the right hand, the left hand, the two hand. You've seen it. There are only 6 or 7 possibilities. But it's like, go and look at it again. Maybe this time the key will fly into the air. Hey! I have some good news for you. Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, he will never be thirsty again. Hallelujah. Now, the next thing we are going to have is some fruits. You see, most of you don't eat fruits. Let's be honest. You don't normally eat fruits. Ah, ga-
curry and whatever. Stew. Kenke and what? Finish. There's no fruits. No apples. No grapes. No pawpaws. No bananas. No pineapples. No watermelons. And even other ones. Other fruits that I don't know the name. Now, what are the fruits? In Galatians chapter 5, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So when you come to Jesus, you start to enjoy some fruits. Now the fruits start to come out of your life. And you meet other Christians who have these fruits, love, joy, peace. You see, people become peaceful. People become loving. If you love me, there's a song that, if you love me, if you love me,
love me, then you will smile at me. If you love me, you'll be full of life.
You'll be full of life.
If you love me, you will be cheerful around me.
So you learn about love.
If you love me, you like my friends.
You like my friends if you love me. Steps are being given to you how to love. Because a lot of girls think that to love is to do your hair. I've done my hair, I've done my nails, I've added some pieces to my butt, my buttocks, and I'm beautiful. I'm nice. You are not nice. You are not nice. You are nice unto yourself, but you are not nice. The fruits, sing it, love.
If you love me, then you will smile at me. If you love me, you'll be full of life.
You'll be full of life. How many want a girl who is full of life?
If you love me, you will show.
Oh, I can't see your hand. If you like, don't raise your hand. God will give you a very hard girl. God for really bid. If you love me.
If you love me, you think about me more. Talk to me.
You talk to me. Not just on your phone and then just.
If you love me, you will show me that you care.
Oh.
If you love me, you hold my hand.
How many brothers want to have a girl who will just hold your hand? Child!
Please learn these lessons about love. Oh.
Volume.
If you don't want to have a broken heart. The pain I felt, you must learn how to love.
Learn how to love.
God so loved the world that He gave His Son.
The fruits.
For love is of God and God is love. Oh yeah. For God so loved the whole wide world that He gave His Son. When you love someone, you give and give. When you love someone, you give your best. When you love someone,
when you love someone, you give. God so loved that He gave. So you don't marry just with a plan of how to dress, but you marry with a plan of how to give. And that's what you get when you come to the house of God. You learn love, you learn joy. You learn to take off that moody face that is controlling like an evil spirit the entire environment around you. For the next 25 meters around you, nobody can be happy. Just because your face has come and your face has descended into town. and it's not going. The face is staying there. Love is, you learn the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy. So first love marriages, I tell, there's a lot of joy. Yes. There's a lot of, there's shouting, happiness. When I say shouting, I don't mean shout of anger. Okay, they are slapping you and then, no. Shouts of joy. Shh. Where first lovers are living, the neighbors hear screams of joy. They become paralyzed in their houses. They hear, one first love bride, when she got married, she told her husband, never come to the house and open the door with your key. Never. When you come, you knock. I want to give you a reception. I don't want to be in my house and I see that you've come. You knock. That I myself, I know how to jump into your arms. So that you know that a king has come home. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. How many are going to practice some of these strategies? You tell your husband, don't knock, please. Don't use a key. Don't open. Leave your key, and when you come, you knock. So that I myself will take my time. I know how to welcome you. Give the Lord a shout of hallelujah. So when you come to church, you learn all these things. And the last thing that you have is some wine. Wine. Jesus took the cup and he lifted it up, the cup of wine, and he said, "This is my blood." Now, this blood is the blood that is going to wash all your mistakes away. How many here are young people? Raise your hand if you are a young person. Look at how young you are and how many mistakes you've already made as a young person. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in about 20 years? 20 more years of mistakes. Your mistakes will be few. But thank God for the blood that washes all your mistakes away. Yes. That's why people move sometimes from church to church. Sometimes they'll be in a church and say, "I'm going to another church because that place, they don't know me. That place, they don't know me. They don't know my mistakes." What are the things you are having at this beautiful feast? Number one, milk. Tell your neighbor, "Charlie, we are now going to drink milk." What's the second thing that you have? Bread. Wow, what you need? Sugar bread and sweeter bread and nicer bread. Now listen. There are some countries when I go, I always ask for their bread. One of them is France. You'll be there soon. I prophesy your entrance and exit of France in Jesus' name. Their bread is different from Ghana bread. Swiss bread is also different. Yes. Lebanese bread is also different. So you see, there are different types of bread. I see you in many countries eating bread. What is the third thing you are getting at this great feast? Meat. Oh, this is special meat. When I went to Uganda, they made, on the last day of the crusade, they made it on the crusade field, meat. They make pork. They eat pork in Uganda. Yes. Shh. So the first time they made it, when I tasted, I said, "This is a very heavenly type of pork."
and then I was eating it. It was very nice. Then the second time, when they made it, when I tasted, I said, no, it tastes different. And I saw that a Ghanaian had made the pork. A Ghanaian had gone to interfere with the way they were doing the thing. I said, I don't need a Ghana pork. I need Uganda pork. You are going to have international kinds of meats. Yes. And you are going to become stronger in the Lord. Amen. What's the fourth thing that you are going to enjoy? Water. And you, what, when you have the water, what's going to happen? You'll never be thirsty again. Yes. How many realize that you've been thirsty in the nightclubs? And I want to take you high. But you are going to be high on the Lord. And what's the fifth thing that you are going to enjoy? Fruits. Nice. You are going to be a nice girl. You're going to be a nice guy. We have a song for brothers. Be nice. Be nice. So nice. How to be a nice. When you listen to the song, you know how to be a nice brother. An A1 brother. And number six, what do you have? Wine. The blood of Jesus. Now, can you believe that some people give excuses when they are invited to this great, like this great invitation? Can you believe it? Well, everybody say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. One person said, I have bought land. Now, for most of us young ones who have not yet bought land, receive grace to buy land. One of them said, I bought a land, and because of my small land, I cannot come. Never allow your riches. You see, many of you don't have anything, but one day you will have something. Don't allow what you have to make you a big shot. Big shotism is not good. Big shotism makes you proud, and pride comes before a fall. Pride comes before a fall because pride opens every door to your failure. That's why you fall. Because pride opens all doors. It's like, pride is like a spirit that comes and opens the back door, opens the front door, opens the gate, opens the windows, removes the burglar proofing, removes the mosquito net, and makes you naked. That's how pride is. It makes you bare. That's what happens to the political parties. When they come into power and they become proud and confident, then the doors are open. Open for failure, open for this, open for that, and then they fall down. You see, when Kwame Nkrumah was in power, I was watching it just yesterday, I think it was yesterday, shown on GTV. The country didn't have money, but he didn't even know. So the deputy finance minister told him, sir, we have only 500,000 left. 500,000, this is the only money we have left, the whole country. And he said that when he told the president went from each member of cabinet to each member of, and asked them, do you believe what this man is saying? And the man said, yes. Then you go to the next person, do you believe what the deputy finance minister is saying? He said, yes, I believe it. Do you believe what he said, that we have only 500,000? Each one said yes. And the man said in the interview that that was the first time that the president listened and believed that they were actually in financial difficulty. He didn't believe it. He was doing these grandiose projects. He thought that this is what will save them and help them. They criticized him for doing the Blaster Square, for doing the Independence Act, all those things. Like, what are these for? Job 600 was another project. They said, what are you doing it for? They say Pan-African Conference, which never came on. It never came on. Then the Akosombo Dam came on. And when he inaugurated the dam, you see, pride makes you blind. When he inaugurated the dam, there was fireworks, celebrations in the whole country that this great thing has been done in Ghana. Exactly 1 month later, he was overthrown.
If it's today he was, it was inaugurated. 4 weeks later, he was overthrown from the government. He couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. 1 month. You see, pride makes you oblivious to realities, and open the gate, open the door, open the windows, relax about this. He came into power with 600 million pounds in the bank Ghana had, and when he 250 million pounds or dollars, and when he left, Ghana was owing 600 million. Yes, by the time when he left, and the country was poor. Ghana had a good reputation at the beginning. By the time he left, all the impression that white people have about Ghana started with him. He fell to the lower. They broke his statue. They did everything. We don't want to see this man. Yes. Don't let your property or what you are make you feel big. When we are preaching, you see the people were acting there. I mean, when they were acting on stage about hell, I was not feeling comfortable. I was feeling uneasy. People are too big to listen. When you talk to them, you are too listening. You're a big man. What are you? You know, a few days ago, I heard somebody died. And, you know, I said, are you sure this person is dead? They cannot be dead. Then they told me the next day, they've done the postmortem. When they said they've done the postmortem, I said, oh, no. Because postmortem, they have divided the person into pieces. They have sliced him into pieces. You will not see it at the wakekeeping, but that's what has happened. That's when I said it's really dead. A person walking and moving today, planning. He was even planning somebody's funeral. Wow. Oh, yes. Wow. He was planning somebody's funeral. So don't let your one small property that you have turn you one small something. I mean, sometimes you see a young person so proud. Can a young person be proud? When I was at Kolebu, I used to go to the medical school hostel to preach. And you see medical students, small children, talking about me. Don't mind him. He's this and that and that. Dark Howard Mills, this and that. Medical students, so proud because of what they seem to have. It's amazing. Pride is like, when you have pride, it's like an angel of darkness who is in your home, and he's decided to open the gate, front gate, open the back gate, open all the doors, ajar, open, remove mosquito netting, remove burglar proofing, open all the windows, and you are in the house totally naked and totally exposed. You see, Kwame Nkrumah never imagined. If he knew, he would have not gone to Hanoi. That there was so much discontent. That's what happens to politicians. They are so blind. You think the opposition have even the faintest idea that they will not be in power today? Not even, didn't even occur to them. Pride makes you blind to the realities. And as soon as they go there, they are veiled. They can't see. They don't understand. If you talk, they will not listen. So it's best you don't even criticize or say anything about anything anymore. Another person, can you imagine, was invited and he said that he has 5 yoke of oxen. That means that, you see, that was farming. In these days, he would have said, I have 5 computers. I'm starting a computer school. The computer you were proud of yesterday, today it's no more used. I said the computer you were proud of yesterday, they no longer use those box computers. One top administrator, she came to see me. She came for a meeting. And I told her, where is your laptop? She said, I don't use laptop. I said, accounting. She said, chartered accountant. You don't use laptop. Where is your laptop? She said, I just use my phone. For chartered accounting. I just use everything on my phone. She said, everything to do with tax, government, account, this, everything is on my phone. I only use my phone. The computer, you were so proud, the 5 computers. I've bought 5 yoke of computers. The 5 yokes of computers that you were so proud of, it's not even being used anymore. You drive your big car and you feel so much that you are a big shot. You know, when my father died, you know, He gave all his children, he gave us things. But he left me out of one thing. Do you know what it was? I'll tell you. It's a personal, but I'll tell you. He didn't give me a car. He gave to only my sisters. He said, I give you my car, Mercedes. When I saw that I've been left out, I said, I don't care. Car there, it'll not be anything. We go feed you. Why should you feel so big about a car? Your car that is so great to you today, just now it will be a taxi. Very soon it will be a taxi. It will be nothing. And you realize that nothing is nothing. Five yoke of oxen, five cars, five days, whatever it looks great to you, never let it be a reason why you will not follow Jesus. Yes. The man that you are following, the boy who has charmed your heart with his deep voice. Hi, baby, hello, darling. And he's using words you've never heard before, like darling, sweetheart, hello, baby. And you are so overwhelmed. Are you a chicken? I said, are you a chicken? A chicken has a very small brain. You see, it may have a lot of meat. Look at the head. The head is very small on top. You know, relative to the size. So even our heads, you see that our heads are big. Quite big relative to our body. But a chicken, you see, then the head is small. And that one, the brain is within the bone. So like the brain is like small, like a granite or half of a granite. So when somebody says, hi, darling. Hi, baby. And then, are you a chicken with a very small brain? You can't think at all. The guy is saying, hi, baby. He has told a lot of girls the same, hi, baby. Sisters, let me give you a private tip. Shall I give you a private tip? Are you sure?
Yes.
There are two types of girls who listen to my preaching. Which type are you? The first type. Yeah. Look, beware of brothers who give wild raps. Yeah, like people who can rap, like they really charm you. Be careful of them. They are experienced guys. And they are used to rapping girls. So when they see you, they just add you to the list and say, hi, baby, you know, and see that your heart is beating. Boo-boo. 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 You are falling already. Are you a chicken? Ask your nearest sister, are you chicken brain or are you an anointed sister? Anointed sister. Can you believe some people, because of a small job you've got at Price Waterhouse, or because of a small job you've got at NDC headquarters, or small job you've got at NPP, Kintampo branch NPP, you have become so big. Then can you believe that some people will not come to this invitation because of a boy? One said, I've married a wife. Never let your wife warn her. Tell her, my friend, never keep me from God. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you keep me from, when I say I am feeling tired, will I go for all night? Tell her, I'm teaching you. The day that I say I'm tired, you tell me, you have to go. You are going for all night. And when he's sleeping, you push him and say, go for all night. Go and pray to God. That's the kind of sister you need to marry. Tell the boy, you can't keep me from God. This is a great invitation. If you don't listen to the great invitation, you go somewhere else. When I was in university, there was a very beautiful girl. Yes. Almost as beautiful as my wife, but a little less beautiful. Almost, but that still couldn't get there. Yeah. Hey, a lot of brothers wanted to marry her. I think maybe about 14. 15. A lot of brothers. I mean, because she was mind-blowing. Spiritual, everything. Nice. But everybody who came, no. No, sorry. No, sorry. Brothers will come and kneel down and say, come and be my wife. What a great invitation she had. She said, no, I'm sorry. No. Why? She couldn't really give a good reason. Later, things became difficult. Yes. She became desperate. One day she went and joined herself to the church. After she joined the church, she was hoping that somebody would notice her. But nobody was noticing. Then she decided to join the choir, because when I joined the choir and I sing, how that I found Christ, what am I gonna do? It is now that I found Christ, what am I... Nobody was noticing her, so she decided to become a frontliner. And then she, what song was she singing? I can't hear you. I'm going to be a strong Christian. Frontline. Strong Christian. Still, nobody was seeing her. So she decided to join the worship team. Because the worship team are fewer. After some time, no one was noticed. You see, when you get a great invitation, don't fool. Yes. So she was in the worship choir. That one, there are not few. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you. Sometimes you would even kneel. I could search for all eternity and find there is none like you. Still. So she decided to join the praise team. So when the praise team, they were singing faster songs. What are the songs? And the pastor didn't have a wife. So she took up a strategy. During the next praises, where you can dance and move. What song is that? Where you can move. So she started to come down. Front of the pastor, so that the pastor who was not mad, all this because a great invitation that you had You were giving excuses and you were saying all sorts of things. Continue. She came. Where is the pastor? Yes. Toss toward the pastor. Still, it didn't work. Listen, when you are driving a car and you see a petrol station, you are going on a long journey. You see petrol, they will say last stop. You see last opportunity to buy petrol. And instead of humbling yourself and say, I need to buy, you will not buy. And later on, you'll be wishing that you had bought it. So this is a great invitation. He's inviting you to come and eat bread, come and drink milk, come and drink water, come and eat meat, come and eat fruits, come and have some wine. Don't come up with cock and bull stories. Fooling. And you see that pride will bring you down. Why should a beautiful girl be dancing for the pastor to notice somebody who a lot of people are begging? You got a chance. And you know, today when we were watching this thing in hell, the guy was saying this one had 124 chances to give his life to Jesus. And then the rich man of all people, I was never expecting to see the rich man. He was in hell saying that he's the father of, yeah, because he has been there for a long time, wishing to send people. But he cannot. So, all of us should say yes. I mean, when God called me, I said yes. Derek Prince said he was in the army in India. And there was one officer who was invited by the governor of India. You know how we have Gettysburg. He said it was an officer. He was invited by the governor to come. And he sent a message that he can't come. He's busy. He said that the guy got into serious trouble. I think he was almost dismissed from the army. Yeah. To get an invitation, you say, oh, I'm doing something. From the highest authority. Today, God is, look at my hand, God is calling you. Outside, can you hear me? God is calling you. Don't joke with it. Don't joke. Don't joke with your life. You didn't come here to hear preaching about money. I'm preaching about God and preaching what Jesus said. A certain man made a great supper and invited. And God is not inviting you to reduce you, He's inviting you to bless you. Yes. Bible says in Acts 3:26, God sent Jesus Christ to bless us. He sent Jesus Christ to bless us. Hallelujah. Look at it. And to you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you. And that's what's going to happen. Everybody standing, please. Every standing. Every standing. Every standing, no talking. Every standing, no talking. No moving, please. No ushering. There's nothing important here except to be standing quietly in the presence of the Lord and say, how many here want to accept this great invitation of Jesus and say, Lord, I'm tired of fooling. I want to take you as my Savior. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I thank you for today, for what you have done. It's so beautiful. Thank you for bringing all these people to your house today. I thank you that you are inviting, that you mentioned in your word 2,106 times. Come, 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 come. Because you are always asking people to come. And as every head is bowed today and every eye closed, you want to say, Jesus, I want to say yes to you because you invite me so nicely to come to you to your great feast. If you are here today and you want to receive Jesus, You want to say, yes, Lord, I'm tired of playing. I'm tired of giving excuses about girls, about boys, about things. I don't want to be proud anymore. I want to listen for a change. And I want to give my life to you. If you are here and you want to give your life to God, you want me to pray with you. You want to say, Pastor, somebody invited me, but I want to give my life to God today. Myself. Nobody's forcing me. I want Jesus. I want to be serious with God. If you are here like that, just lift your right hand where you are standing. I'm going to pray with you. Stand. Just lift your right hand up high. God bless you. Lift it up high above your head. I want to take God seriously. Nobody's forcing you and nobody's forcing me. But you want to be serious on this great invitation. This is a great offer that you have from God. Please, I'm very serious about what I'm saying. It's a great opportunity. I want to give my life to God and say yes to this great invitation. I want to take Jesus as my Savior today. If you've lifted your hand, if you've not lifted your hand, you want to lift it, you can still lift it. You can still lift it. Now, if you've lifted your hand, try and come to me in the front here. Try hard. Come from where you are standing. Take your bag, take your Bible, take whatever you have, and come to me in the front here. Come, wait. Come to me in the front here. Come. Just walk. Clap for them as they come. Come all the way. Come. Come from where you are standing. Outside. If you are outside and you didn't want to come inside because it is hot inside, you have to come now, because if you lifted your hand, you need to come now. You need to give your life to Jesus.
Come unto Jesus.
Come unto Jesus.
Give him your life today.
Come on, my friend. Come from outside. I want everybody to sing this song. Come unto Jesus.
Come unto Jesus.
Give him your life.
Give him your life.
Him your
come up the stairs. Come up the stairs. Come up. 1, 2, 3. Okay. 3, 4. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let them come. Let them come. Many people are coming to give their life to Jesus.
Keep coming. Come on to Jesus.
Give him your life.
Give him your life today.
Come upstairs. Come upstairs. 1. Keep coming. Many people are coming from outside. Still coming. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come. Come on, my friend.
Give him your life today.
Come on
to Jesus.
Let him have his way in your life.
Let him.
Everyone joining, every hand lifted up now. Every hand lifted up. Say, Jesus, thank you for today. I am a sinner. And I know that I am a sinner. Please forgive me. Today, I open my heart and I accept your invitation. Say, I accept your invitation to serve you, to be your child. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you today for what you have done. You have saved me. Lord Jesus, please write my name in the book of life. Please wash me from all my sins. Today, I accept Jesus. I receive Jesus. I believe in Jesus as my Savior and my Lord. And from tonight, from today, I will serve Jesus and follow Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you. I love you. I say I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, lift this finger like this. One finger like this. Everywhere. Every hand. Say after me, Satan.
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 Listen very carefully.
From today,
I bind you. Satan, I reject you. I bind you. I will not serve you again. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I will not follow you again. I belong to God and I will serve God. Satan, from today, me and you is finished. Me and you is finished. I will not follow you again. I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. Now lift your two hands like this. And say, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Say, how I love Jesus. From today, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, take over my life. Say, Jesus, take over my life. Take my life and let it be acceptable, pleasing to you from today. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. How I love Jesus!
How I love Jesus!
Come on, sing it with me.
Oh, how I love Jesus! Oh, how I love Jesus!
Everybody wave your hands and sing along. How many love Jesus today? Beautiful. Now, I'm going to give you one of my books. So have they given you already? Give to them. Give to everybody who come. How I love Jesus. Quickly, we need more people to help.
How I love Jesus.
Because he first
loved me. There is a name I love to
hear. I love to hear.
I love to sing its word.
It sounds like music.
Like music in my ears.
The sweetest name.
The sweetest name.
Everyone singing out.
How I love you.
Going to do with everybody who came forward. I want you to, I think they can go back. Out this way? No. When we close, we are closing in about 5 minutes, 10 minutes. When we close, all of you who came forward to give your life to Jesus, this side of the church, we are going to meet you from this corner all the way here. Okay? I myself will come and pray for you. So when we close, all of you, no matter where you are sitting, come here. When you see me, come to pray for you, and then you go. Okay? So we are going to meet with you and show you something. We are going to show you something on your phone. How many have your phone? Aha. You have to bring your phone when you are coming. We will show you something on your phone. Through that, God is going to bless you. So as soon as we close, all of you, come all on this side. Please, no one who is not part of this group, don't, where these pillars are, don't come to this. All these people are coming there. So if you came forward like this, pray with you and all that, come to that side as soon as we close. Okay? God bless you. Go back to wherever you are sitting if you have a seat. How I love my Jesus!
How I love Jesus. Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Hallelujah. We are just waiting for everybody to go back to their seats. We'll be closing in a few minutes, but before we close, who's playing? We'll be closing in a few minutes, but before we close, we have some important things to do. Amen. We are going to have communion. Are we having communion today? All right. So, everyone is going to receive communion. I need to pray for your healing and for God's covering. And whatever the covenant of blessing that comes through the body and the blood of Jesus, you are going to receive it today. Amen. Now, if the communion is not enough, because we have more than 10 or 11,000, I don't know how many people are here, or 12,000 people. It's getting to 12,000 people here today. You may not get the communion. Start giving it out, but we will get. Okay. We are going to give everybody. And then we will do it. I wish we can get Lebanese bread to use for the communion so that it feels more like the real bread that Jesus used. It is unleavened bread. It doesn't rise. So what we are using is leavened bread. This normal sugar bread is leavened bread. But the Passover is kept with unleavened bread. So, we are going to become more than Arabs, drinking the Holy Communion and the bread. How many are excited at this great invitation? You are getting some wine, some bread. Wow, so nice. Yes. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 14. I want to give you one scripture. Verse 15. And when one of them sat at meat, communion time, no talking, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, I've been blessed to eat bread in Manila, in the Philippines. I just finished eating bread in Uganda. I've eaten bread in Tanzania. I've eaten bread in South Africa. I've eaten bread in London. I've eaten bread in Colombia. I've eaten bread in Lebanon. You are tired of saying I'll be there now. I've eaten bread in Rwanda. I've eaten bread in Switzerland. I've eaten bread in France. I've eaten bread in Germany. I've eaten bread in Sweden. I've eaten bread in Sri Lanka. A lot of bread. I ate a lot of bread when I went to Sri Lanka. Yeah. I've eaten bread in Chennai, India. I've eaten bread in so many places. But the Bible says, blessed is he that eats bread in the kingdom of God. So make sure you are in heaven. Two ways. Make sure you are in heaven for breakfast. How many are going to be in heavenly hotels? Some of you will be visiting me in my mansion, and I'll show you a hotel you can stay nearby. Heavenly hotel. Heaven, we don't have 5 stars, oh. We have 1,000-star hotel. Not 5 stars. All stars. That's where the stars are. All stars. All stars hotel. And my mansion is so big that it takes a lot of people. It will take a lot before I have to rent a hotel for you. I have a lot of rooms. Yes. One of the rooms in my mansion will have only my crowns. Yes, crowns. That's where I'll keep it. When you come to visit, I'll tell you, do you want to see the crowns? Let's go. Let's go have a look at the crowns. Shakataya. Beautiful. Blessed is he that eats bread. And I'll call my waiters angels. I'll say, angel. They have different names. Some they start with N, some start with P, some start with L. Some are like female angels, some are male angel, like I don't know type of angels. I also served them some bread. I told them about Luke 14. Blessed is he that eats bread. So they all want to eat bread in my house. Kingdom bread. Now right here, as we are about to take this Holy Communion, we are about to experience bread in the kingdom. And a blessing, the bread, the cup of blessing that we bless, the bread, the body of Jesus Christ. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Yes. Unlike the normal food you are going to eat after church, where you have to bless the food. This one, the food is blessing you. The cup of blessing which we bless. Stand to your feet. Father, let there be an experience of divine blessing for every servant and every child here. Thanks for calling us. Thanks for saving us. Thanks for choosing us. We praise you, Lord, for your great blessing that you've given to us. Let the blessing that comes from eating bread in your kingdom fall upon everyone. The body of Jesus Christ. Receive your blessing now. In Jesus' name. Now the cup. We have something called waterborne diseases. When you drink, you get sick. This is a cup of blessing. When you drink, you get well. Amen. Father, let the cup of blessing release a great blessing to everyone gathered. Amen. Anoint. Yes. Empower. Amen. Heal and deliver. Amen. Let the curse be broken by this cup. Just as the curse over the whole world was broken through the blood of Jesus, let the curse in our whole life be broken through this blood as we receive it. We thank you, Heavenly Father. The blood of Jesus Christ. Now lift your hands. Father, I thank you there will be no bad news about anybody here. There will be no sad news about anybody here. There will be no evil occurrence in anybody's life. In the name of Jesus, let me hear your loudest amen. Whatever has targeted you, whatever has planned to kill you, to steal from you, to destroy you, in a surprise, in an expected way, or in an unexpected way, I overturn it today in the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. I say I overturn it today in the name of Jesus. Any enemy of yours who has malice or ill will, evil desires and evil wishes about you, wishing to hear when will he die, when will I hear something negative about him, in the name of Jesus, I overturn and override and overrule all those evil wishes in the name of Jesus. Let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. All evil desires by people, yes, hoping to hear something bad has happened to you, yes, I declare they will never hear that news in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. I said they will never hear that news about you. Anyone sitting in a room having a meeting about you, discussing you, talking about you, planning against you, I break that table in Jesus' name. I say, I break that table now in Jesus' name. Some are saying about you, an evil disease has overtaken you. But I say to you, they will not have the privilege of attending your funeral. I said they will not have the privilege of attending your funeral. Those who are expecting you to die, you will be attending their funerals. Are you hearing me? You know, listen carefully to what I say before you say amen. No one is coming to look at your face in a coffin. Amen. No, no, listen to what I say first. No one is coming to look at your face lying in a coffin. I declare it in the name of Jesus over your life. Amen. Your funeral, it's not this year. I didn't hear your amen. I said your funeral is not this year. It's not next year. It's not the year after. It's not coming out for many years to come. Let me hear your shouting amen. Listen before you say amen. Every door that you have opened to the enemy through pride, every window you have opened to the enemy through pride, every gap that is open in the hedge of your life, I declare it closed today in Jesus' name. All dangers that you have exposed yourself to, today by mercy and by the blood of covering, you are no longer exposed to those evils in Jesus' name. Let me hear your loudest amen. Amen. The Lord is commanding his loving kindness and his angel to descend from heaven and stand in your house. I say an angel with a big sword is released to stand in your dwelling place, where it is. Receive this prophecy now in Jesus' name. May the security around you be increased in Jesus' name. May the security in your life be increased in Jesus' name. May the protection in your life be increased in Jesus' name. Every bad luck, misfortune, unfortunate decision of your life, we overturn it in Jesus' name. Anyone here who is always breaking relationships,
Professor.
Good relationships,
yes.
You have a spirit of anti-relationship, anti-happiness, anti-joy, anti-peace. You are against peace, but you don't see it. In Jesus' name, I break that curse over your life. In Jesus' name, I break that curse over your life. Whatever spirit makes you unable to give as you ought to give, I bind that spirit in your life.
Amen.
You are released now.
Amen.
Into the grace of giving.
Amen.
Receive the ability to give.
I receive it.
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 In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Anyone who thought you were poor because you were young or I don't know what reason is going to hear a different story about your life. All those who think you are a poor person, that's the only way they know you. May God surprise each and every one of them. Your pocket will never be dry from today. Your pocket will never be empty from today. I hear the sound of rain. Your dry season is over.
Amen.
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 In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Be healed.
I receive it.
Be healed.
I receive it.
Be healed.
I receive it.
Say, I receive it. Be healed.
I receive it.
Be healed.
I receive it.
Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be delivered. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. Whatever is fighting you, I command and send and release the angels of God to fight against what is fighting you. For he contends with those that contend against us. Now, hold your hand up like this. Like you're holding a cup. Like you're holding a cup. Everybody outside, like you're holding a cup. From now, your cup is running over.
Amen.
Receive more than you need.
I receive it.
More than you can use.
I receive it.
More than you can even control.
I receive it.
May your cup run over from now. May your cup run over from now. May your cup run over from now. In the name of Jesus. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
I receive it. My cup is running over. Now, whatever you lack, whatever you lack, I see something, Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Whatever you lack in your life, receive the good shepherd's provisions now. Say, I receive it.
I receive it.
Say, the Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
In the name of Jesus. Now I see a rock.
Yes.
Put your leg on it. You are standing on a rock from today in Jesus' name. Any unstable thing in your life is being solidified now.
Amen.
God is taking you out of the clay.
Amen.
And has put your foot on a rock to stay.
Amen.
Shout amen somebody.
Amen.
And give the Lord a shout of thanksgiving and praise. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books and other resources by Dycuid Mills, please visit our website at www.dycuidmills.org. God richly bless you.